this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Hey, good evening. It's good to see y'all tonight. I tell you what, when they asked me to speak tonight, I did not know they were going to do all this stuff, and I don't know how to even begin to get up here to speak and tell you how much we love y'all. I mean, and it's not because of gifts. I know the gifts are a material way to show your love to us, but your faithful support. For 6 years, your church has been supporting our ministry. For 6 years, never once have I ever, you know, doubted the fact that y'all love us, that you pray for us. I get notes and cards and emails and Facebook messages, and y'all mean the world to us. And I just want to say, before I say anything else, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for encouraging us, for keeping us. It's like my daddy used to tell me, I'm from Alabama, so you have to forgive my Alabama knees here, but my daddy used to say, it's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. And you got folks like y'all that are just saying, keep going, keep serving. We love you. We're behind you. And it means the world to me. And I just want to first of all say thank you for allowing me to be here again this year with y'all, and to be able to celebrate the missions conference and all that God is using your church to accomplish around the world. As Pastor said, 13 years ago, God allowed my wife and I to start medical missions outreach. And we work basically in a different country on a regular basis. 2 weeks ago, I was in Kenya. 3.5 weeks ago, I was in Ecuador. Before that, Philippines, Honduras. I leave Friday night on a red eye to Panama. I'll be there for 10 days, come back, go to Albania. Then I'll go to Greece. After that, I head over to Guyana, over to Guatemala. And then we'll get ready to start all over again as we're preparing just to serve alongside the missionaries like the other folks that were up here tonight. Our heart's desire is to use medicine as a means to draw people to a place where we can help them physically. We want to help them physically, but we're no fools. We know that the medicine, the surgical procedures, the dental work we may do, the glasses we may give, it's only a temporary fix. It's just a band-aid that we're really giving them in light of eternity. The most important thing that we can do as medical missions outreach is to introduce people to the great physician. Tell them all about Jesus Christ and how he heals hearts for eternity, how he can change lives. He can turn the world upside down for folks. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, is use medicine as a means to introduce them to the Savior, but then not just introduce them to the Savior and leave town, but we want to help grow local churches just like yours. I guarantee you, Pastor, would you be happy if tomorrow morning there was 2,000 people standing outside in line begging to come into your church building, begging to let church people sit down one-on-one and share the gospel with them? We all would love that. And you know what? That's what our ministry is able to see accomplished on a daily basis. Hundreds of people standing there. By the week's end, right now, we're averaging treating 2,500 patients every 4 days through our clinics. And people are begging to get in to see an American doctor and American medical professionals. But we know the best thing that we can do for them is to share Jesus Christ. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he really is the balm of Gilead that their soul needs. And so tonight, I want you to do me a favor. I want to show you a video. It'll kind of share more about our ministry, what we're doing, how we're doing it. After church, I want to answer all your questions. I'm here to answer your questions. But most importantly, I want you to get involved with us. I want to see you on the mission field. I want you to come on a trip with me. You say, Bradley, I'm not a medical professional. That's okay. That is absolutely okay. We take a lot of volunteers, non-medical people, on trips with us, and we could teach you stuff. We could teach you how to do blood pressures, weights and temperatures, and you could help in our triage area. On average, our patients get about 4 prescriptions each. So if we're seeing 2,500 patients, that's what, 10,000 prescriptions that go out every 4 days. We could show you where some of the medications are. You can pull it off the shelf and help the pharmacist fill it faster. We could partner you up with a registered nurse, LPNs, the CNAs that work with us. You could work in our lab, in our wound care area, in our treatment areas, and you could assist them in that area. There's so many jobs that you could do. We could train you how to use our auto refractors, and you could help pull glasses and match people up with the glasses that they need. We take 4,000 pairs of glasses to every country. It's one of the most popular parts of our clinic, as people just want to read their Bible, or they just want to be able to work or drive, and they can't because they can't afford glasses. You could be a part of that personal, that team. It's a beautiful thing when they slide those glasses on and their eyes light up for the first time. I love watching them. I've seen people just break down crying. I've seen people jump up and hug people. I've seen an old man try to get a kiss off of one of the ladies that was helping us. I mean, he was, and I don't know if that was about the glasses or not, but I'm telling you, it is a wonderful opportunity to help people. And you know, I want to see you be a part of that. I want to see you come. I want to see Pastor Matt wearing scrubs with our surgical team. No, I don't want to see that. I want to see y'all serve with us. So tonight, when you watch this video, do me a favor. Picture yourself in this video. Picture yourself helping these people through the clinic. Picture yourself praying and asking God to provide financially for you to be able to go on a trip. That you picture yourself right before that trip as you're packing, saying, God, change my life this week as I go overseas to serve. Next week, we're going to be all over. We're going to be in Honduras, next year. We're going to be in Honduras. We're going to be in the Philippines. We're going to be in Vanuatu. We're going to be in South Sudan. We're going to be in Tanzania. I can't even remember them all. We're going to a bunch of places. And listen, I need your help. I really do. We need your help to partner with us to go out and reach the world for Jesus Christ. So watch this video. Picture yourself in it. Think of some questions to ask me. And after church, let me answer all of them. I would do my best to get you involved in our ministry. Here's the video.
For 13 years, God has allowed our family to serve with Medical Missions Outreach. We are the Edmondsons, and like you, we've been called to share the gospel with everyone. God has distinctly called us to use medicine as a means to attract large numbers of people to a place where we can effectively minister to them through medical, dental, vision, and surgical care. We strategically partner with missionaries, church planters, and pastors of local New Testament churches worldwide in an effort to see this massive goal accomplished. During the course of a year, Medical Missions Outreach strives to serve in 10 to 12 countries. On average, we treat around 2,500 patients in each of those countries. Partnering with these local churches affords us the opportunity to share the gospel with each of these patients, often in a one-on-one setting. Let's walk through the clinic so you can see what it's like. When patients enter the clinic, they are greeted by volunteers from the church we are serving alongside. Here, their name, address, phone number, and other important information is taken to allow the church to follow up with them in the future. Next, the patient will be escorted to the triage area to have their weight, blood pressure, and temperature recorded to help the medical providers come to a proper diagnosis of problems they may be facing. The next step would be for the patient to see one of our medical providers. Basic health education is a major part of what our ministry seeks to accomplish so that these patients can care for themselves long after we are gone. Often, we diagnose new hypertensive patients, diabetics, those suffering with musculoskeletal pains, dermatological issues, and a host of other illnesses. We are able to utilize our own lab and treatment equipment to assist in reaching these diagnoses. We want to do more than tell the patient the problem. We want to do our best to fix it. So the patient visits our pharmacy where they will be able to get all of their medications free of charge. While waiting for the prescriptions to be filled, we have the perfect opportunity for volunteers from the church to sit down with the patient to pray with them over their illness and then share the gospel. This is the most important part of our clinic, and we pray for God to allow us to see great results from this area. Other patients may leave the triage area to visit the dental team or vision team, and whether they have a tooth extracted or new glasses provided, each one will get to hear the glorious gospel. Being invited to a church, shown hope, offered salvation, and being cared for can make an eternal difference, and this is the goal of Medical Missions Outreach. We can't do this alone. We need those churches to share the gospel in the local dialect. We need them to baptize, disciple, and continue the ministry. We need more medical providers from churches like yours to join us and help care for the patients that will come to our clinics. We need non-medical volunteers to come with us and assist our teams in carrying out our goals. We need folks to collect supplies, pray for us, and give financially. We're looking for you. You can be involved and you can make a difference. The hurting need to see mercy, feel grace, find hope, experience love all through Christ embodied by you. Join us and help make a difference for eternity.
So right after church, our table is set up right over here. I have prayer cards. I'd love for you to get a prayer card, pray for our family. Last time we were here 6 years ago, there was only five of us in that picture. Last time we were here, it was Father's Day on the Sunday morning service when we were here. We celebrated Father's Day here in Las Vegas. And right over here behind this back pillar, our family was sitting there. And actually, the Goins family was here that week, too, the ones that are headed to Honduras. And we were all sitting back there on the Sunday morning service. And somebody from the church had a brand new baby sitting right in front of us. And I don't know if you could tell from the pictures, I love babies. I got pictures of me with babies all over the world. I just like babies. I think they're cute. And so we were sitting there, and I put my arm around my wife. It's Father's Day, and I'm looking at that baby, and I'm just grinning ear to ear. And I looked, and I just whispered in her ear. I said, we need another one of those. And it's Father's Day, and we're in the middle of congregational singing, and my wife reaches in her purse, and she hands me my Father's Day card. So I open that thing up, and right in there she says, congratulations, you're going to be a poppy again. And so we're sitting back there. I'm bawling. It's Sunday morning service. I'm back there bawling because my wife just told me we're having our fourth child. I mean, so many special memories. Y'all have been so good to us. I can't get over your kindness and your generosity. It's amazing. There, I'm going to tell you this. A church like this is few and far between. And your heart for missions and your giving heart. What you're doing in your community. Reaching out and feeding folks and reaching into some of the lower income housing and the things that you're doing as you reach out to visitors that come into your community. You're making an impact here locally and around the world, and you're to be commended. And most of all, man, I can't help but know for a fact that it makes our Savior proud that you're using your talents, your treasures to honor and glorify him. Keep it up. Please keep it up. Stay faithful. Stay behind your pastor and the ministries here. Keep serving together. Man, what a tremendous blessing. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of all of this. Would you do me a favor? Take your Bible. We're going to go to Mark chapter 2 this evening. Mark chapter 2. Now, I'm going to go ahead and apologize. When pastor asked me to speak, I heard that there was another gentleman that was supposed to speak that is phenomenal. I mean, he is a great preacher. See, y'all drew the short straw, if you know what I mean, getting me tonight. I'm sorry. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm not going to bring any kind of newfangled missionary stories and ideas out of God's word to you tonight. I'm not. I'm going to go to a passage of scripture that we've all heard before. We've all read it before. But I got to tell you something. Since God put this calling on my life, since he called me into medical missions ministry, my perspective has changed when I read the Bible now. You see, I truly believe the Bible is right when it says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. It really does. I'm a different person now than when I was 6 years ago when I came through here. God's allowed me to experience so much in those 6 years. Your giving has enabled me to go and serve in places I never thought I would go. I've been there in the Sahara Desert in Burkina Faso, and I held that 7-month-old baby that weighed 5 pounds, starving to death. That changed me. I don't know that I've ever prayed so hard for one individual in my life that God would miraculously save this little baby's life. Because he was brought in by a mother who had walked from across the street from the Islamic mosque, across the street from the church we were working in. Having been turned away by them that no one there could help them or really wanted to help them, she came to us and she handed me that baby. And I begged and I pleaded, God, show yourself strong. God, please do something. It changed me. It changed me when I was in the Philippines and we had a man that was literally dying at a table. He had tuberculosis and his pressure was dropping so fast. We knew that he was going to die any second. And I had to pick him up and I carried him to a corner where we didn't want him to die at the table because we didn't want people to think we had done something to him. He was just at his end stages. And it changed me whenever I carried that man into a back room and I laid him down. And I said, sir, any minute now, your life is going to be over. You got to know Jesus as your personal Savior. You have got to make a decision today because it will affect the rest of eternity. That changed me. It changed me when that woman walked into our clinic and she was septic. She had a raging infection in her body because she had performed a self-abortion because she was so ashamed of some of her deeds that she had done. And she didn't want to tell anybody in her family that she was expecting. And so she did this to her own body and she came into our clinic. And at first she wanted to pass it off that she had dengue fever or something like that. And of course, as we're deducing this medically, we knew that that wasn't possible. And finally, when we got down to it, we saw this woman who was broken and was hurting and she was desperate for someone to care about her. That changed me. I could go on and on. I could tell you all kind of stories, but now when I read the Bible, I'm different the way I read it through. It changes my perspective. And whenever I read this passage of scripture, I can't help but see this just a little bit differently. Mark chapter 2, read verse number 1 with me. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. I like that. Hey, just a quick hint for some of you that think about the ministry. Anytime you got a big crowd, instead of having lights and all kind of crazy actions, let's just give them Jesus. That's the best thing we can do. And Jesus does that. He preaches the word to them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain among the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all doing a jig. I added that part. And so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, whoo wee, goodness gracious, we never saw it on this fashion. Could you imagine being in that house that day? I mean, seriously, it's crowded in there. Everybody wishes they used dial. I mean, it's hot. It's the Middle East. I could just imagine it's a little bit dark in there and everybody's packed in there all to hear Jesus Christ preaching. It's these four guys, though, that really I just can't help but get my attention off these four guys. What was it about this man that caused them to want to help him? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, who was this guy? Again, I'm reading between the lines a little bit here, but I can't help but wonder, was this a good friend of theirs? Was this somebody that they saw on the side of the road on a regular basis? Was it somebody from childhood that they knew? I don't know. I'm so curious to find out how they knew this guy and what caused and prompted this whole thing to happen. But one thing's for sure. These four guys saw a man who just had a pitiful condition. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to, talk down about someone with the handicap like this man had, this palsied person. But man, listen, this is a day and age where they didn't have any type of therapy for this man to go through. They didn't have any of the type of instruments and walking canes or any kind of wheelchairs or any kind of social system that was really set up to help this man like what we would have today. There was none of the medical science that what we have today. And there was something about this man that just caused these men to want to do something. It was these men having compassion. You know, compassion will cause us to do amazing things, won't it? And when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Listen, this evening, we need this mindset. We need this heartbeat. We need this drive within us. God, help me to have compassion on people that have a condition that I really can do nothing about. Does that make sense? Here's the deal. I cannot save a person myself, but I can introduce them to Jesus Christ. I might not be able to salvage the marriage myself, but Jesus Christ can. I might not be able to solve all their financial woes, but Jesus Christ can step in and intervene, can he? Oh, my goodness. Whenever I stop and think about it, my life intersects with so many people on a daily basis. on a daily basis, I'm confronted with people that I might not know their whole situation. But I do know this. If they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they really are in a pitiful condition. And here's these men. They see this guy and then they know, listen, I'm sorry. I wish I could help you. If you've ever seen someone with palsy, a lot of times their lower extremities, a lot of times are distorted. A lot of times that maybe their hands will be curled in. Their ankles, their feet, the toes usually will be curled in and kind of turned inwards as the bones are kind of malformed a little bit. And I could just imagine as they passed that man on a daily basis, or maybe it was that day. Hey, Jesus is in town. Did y'all hear about this? Let's go down and see him. I probably would have been there too. I mean, didn't you hear about all the miracles that he's done? And maybe if we go hang out there, he'll do something for us too. Let's go. Could you imagine as they're walking down that road and they see that guy on the side of the road? Hey, wait a minute. I see him all the time. That man can't get up and walk. He can't really do anything. He begs for bread. He'll beg for money. He just wants somebody to help him. And listen, the Creator, Jesus Christ, he's the one that can change this condition. The compassion in their heart that calls them to want to do something. Now, let me tell you this. When we have compassion and it motivates us to want to do for others and to be Jesus Christ and to display his love in their lives, it's going to cost us something. I mean, think about the Samaritan that Jesus talks about, the good Samaritan that was passing by. You remember it cost him something, didn't it? As he took his robe off and he probably tore it as he was binding up the wounds. It cost him as he took him to the hotel there and paid the fee for all of it. It cost him something, didn't it? These men, they were willing to physically get involved. It was going to cost them physically. They were going to carry this man in the Middle East where it's hot, where they didn't have asphalt and concrete walkways. It was probably rough and rugged road that they were going to be carrying him on. They were willing to get involved. It was going to cost them something. What I like about this is how they work together as a team, though. Man, this is beautiful to me because this is the way it's meant for us to serve together. When Pastor Matt said a minute ago that this was not one individual that was being a huge blessing to all these families, it was a church corporately coming together. That is beautiful. That is the way it's supposed to be. And what I love about this passage of scripture, it says that there was this man that was sick of the palsy, born of four. Now, there's a lot of speculation as to how they actually carried him, whether it was each one grabbing an arm or a leg or maybe a blanket that maybe had been spread out and they each grabbed a corner. However it was that they did it, they all joined together to get this man to Jesus Christ. That compassion would drive them to do great things. And there's so many people that just need compassion. I was in Kenya, Africa, and five little girls from a local school walked into our clinic. They were all wearing the school uniform, which was a white button-up blouse and a blue pleated skirt. Four of the girls, their pleated skirt just kind of went down to their knee, and that was it. The fifth girl, her skirt went all the way down to the floor. She came in, just really had basically a flat affect. She didn't have any kind of expression on her face or anything. She really just kind of kept her eyes focused on the floor. She was just, it seemed to be a very shy girl. She got registered, she got triaged, and she went and sat down with one of our providers. And immediately the doctor asked her, "So what brings you in today? What can I help you with?" Very quietly, she just kind of lifted up one of her legs and began to pull her skirt up just a little bit. Immediately, it was clear what the problem was. This young girl had what's called elephantiasis. It's basically when a little parasite, it gets into your lymphatic system. And basically that parasite will get all the way up to your lymph node. And in her case, it was in her leg. And that lymph node begins to excrete a lot of lymphatic fluid, trying to push that parasite out of the way so that the body can function properly. The problem is the parasite is kind of lodged in there. So the lymphatic fluid just continues to build larger and larger. And it looks like a huge swollen area. Well, her swollen area just got so large and so grotesque. It really, the skin just began to fold over and hang down over her ankles. And it was really, just to be honest with you, it was bad. Here in America, we could solve that no problem. I mean, that's not one of those things you see hardly at all in America. We can solve that issue here in America. But we're 3.5 hours away from the capital city, out in the middle of nowhere on the side of this hill in Kenya. There is nothing we can do for this girl. Heartbroken, our doctor looks at her and he says, "I'm so sorry. If we can get you down to the Capitol, we could help you, but I really can't do anything about this today. But as he continued his examination, on the outside of her ankle, where that swelling had just kind of hung over, she had a really horrible cut. And the cut was very infected. And he said, now listen, we can do something about this. In fact, we need to do something about this before the infection gets too bad. So he said, let's go over here to our treatment area and we're going to take care of you there. They walked the girl over into the treatment area, and there was an 18-year-old girl getting ready to go to nursing school who was working with one of our medical professionals. She immediately said, I want to help out. I want to take care of her. So we put her up on the table, and the doc said, listen, we just want to really clean this wound out really good. We want to bandage it up, and we're going to get her started on some real good antibiotics to help clear this up. As that young girl from our team began to wash that girl's foot, her foot was covered in mud. It was the rainy season. She had walked in the flip-flops because her shoes no longer fit her foot, and her foot was just absolutely caked with mud. And that girl on our team washed away all that mud, and then she got to that wound, and she began to just wash out that wound and clean it out. I came back by the room about this point, and I see the young girl sitting on the table, and I mean, she's just bawling. She's crying, and I grabbed a translator, and I said to him, I said, ask her, she speaks Swahili, I said, ask her, if this hurts too bad, tell her we'll stop. We do not want to traumatize her and make it where she hates Americans because they hurt her so much. Tell her we can stop, or we can give her something for the pain. He asked the girl the question, and she responds back to him, and he talks back to her, and she's talking to him, and I'm going, what's going on? This is a simple question. What's the hold up here? And he turns and he looks at me, and he's got tears in his eyes. He said, she's not crying because this hurts. She's crying because no one's ever touched her there before. Her parents think that she's demon possessed, and it's what's causing this mutation in her body. Her friends all make fun of her, saying she's got a communicable disease and nobody really wants to be that close of a friend. She's crying because you're caring for her. Again, I wish we could have cured everything that held that girl that day, physically. But do you know that day when she got off all that table and our doctor talked to her and just tried to reiterate how much we wanted to care for and what we wanted to do for her and how she needed Jesus Christ. Do you know she went into that room with someone from that church and a lady from the church, opened her Bible, and that little girl received Christ as her personal Savior? And listen, whether her body is ever made whole here on earth, one day she will have an absolutely perfect body. You see, you and I, we can make a difference. I believe with all my heart that you and I, we keep our eyes wide open. God, today, every day, wherever I'm at, whether it's that lady that I meet at Walmart who's helping me whenever I check out, whether it's the lady that I see all the time at our favorite restaurant, whether it's the gas station attendant, whoever it may be, our neighbors, our family, our coworker, God, help me to see them the way that you see them. Somebody that's maybe fighting an addiction. Somebody whose background, their past life is so painful for them every single day, they can't even look at themselves in the mirror because all they can remember is the hurt and the pain that they've caused other people. God, those people that are struggling on a daily basis that just need the Creator. Because I can't solve their addictions. God, I can't fix all their brokenness, but you can. And then let's grab our corner. Just like these guys did. Let's do it together. Your pastor, I'm not a brown noser, so please don't take it this way. He's a faithful man. He's been out here on the desert. There ain't a lot of folks. It's a week and I'm going, good gracious, how do you do this for this long? He's a faithful man who's obviously shown, I've got my corner. There's some good, faithful Sunday school teachers and deacons and some great lay people that are in this church saying, I've got my corner. I'm willing to work too. That you've got some great missionaries that have been up here saying, you know what, we're going to be in our corner of Brazil. We're going to grab our corner down here in Honduras. We're going to grab our corner in Panama. We'll grab our corner. And if there's someone here in this auditorium tonight that you may need to just say, God, help me to grab my corner. I need to be involved. I could teach a Sunday school class. I could sing in a choir. I could help on a bus route. I could help do visitation. I could give to missions. I could faithfully tithe. I could do some of these things. God, I need to grab my corner tonight. Because think of the changes that could take place. They get to that house. No obstacle was going to stop them. They were determined. Listen, be determined in your faithfulness to Christ. That when you're tired, you'll still serve. That when it's hot, I'll still serve. That God, when other people don't understand and other people may ridicule me and other people might try to talk about me, I don't care. I'm going to serve you, God. These guys got there and it wasn't going to let anything stop them. The crowd's too big. Oh, well, redneck ingenuity on display. Them fellas crawled up on that roof. Could you imagine that? I close my eyes when I read my Bible and read these kind of passages and I try to imagine being there. Could you imagine that? I could see Jesus. He already knows what's going on. And he's standing there talking and preaching. All of a sudden, he just takes like one step back and some pieces of rubble fall to the ground and some dust. And then I'm thinking about that homeowner going, what in the world is going on? Were those birds and squirrels again? What is that up there? And then all of a sudden that hole breaks open. And then four crazy guys looking over. There he is. There's Jesus right there. And they begin to lower that guy over. And I can hear that man on that blanket saying, guys, please, we ain't got to do it this way. I can wait till he's done. I can sit outside and wait till he's, and no, we're getting you to Jesus. You know, whenever you get to Jesus, you can experience his presence. Oh, man, that guy gets lowered down right there in Jesus Christ's presence. When we get other things out of our way, when we get ourselves, our priorities and all the things that we think are so important out of the way, we can experience the person of Jesus Christ, being able to see the Son of God face to face. How amazing is that? Oh, but most importantly, we see the power of Christ on display. I don't know what these fellows were thinking. Oh, maybe he's going to grab his leg and he's going to twist it. Maybe he's going to grab those toes and he'll straighten them up. No. It was simply the word of Jesus Christ speaking. Jesus Christ, power on display. And I want to see that. I want to see that when those drunks that need Jesus Christ to change their life and we introduce them to them and we see a life changed. I've seen that power in homes that were just ready to split. And then Jesus Christ comes on the scene and he speaks to their heart. And it was peace in those homes. Man, lives changed. We can be a part of this. This power on display by Jesus Christ because they were willing to get there, to have compassion, grab their corner, not let anything stop them. This change that takes place. And I love the way this passage ends. When Jesus tells this man, arise, take up thy bed and walk. I close my eyes and imagine that man who's probably never walked before. Suddenly those bones are just straightening out. Those fingers wiggling. Those ankles that were turned in suddenly are straightening and he's moving those toes around and just kind of twisting his foot around. Could you imagine what it looked like whenever he rolled over onto all fours for a second and he began to stand up? And like one of those children that's just starting to learn how to walk and he's standing there maybe just getting his bearings about him a little bit. Could you imagine the smile that's starting to creep over his face? What is going on? This is amazing. And Jesus says, hey, take up your bed and go thy way. Could you imagine how fast he could not wait to curl that bed up, put it under his arms and take off and go see his mom, go see his brothers or his sisters, his family, his neighbors. I don't even know. I'm reading into this. But man, I've seen people that come to know Jesus and they can't wait to tell other people. They can't wait to put it on display what Jesus Christ is doing in their lives. It's an amazing thing. It's a beautiful thing. When you and I, we get to partner with missions that are doing it all over the world. It's a beautiful thing when we serve together right here where God has placed us and see those changes take place right here in our own cities. And then that last part, verse number 12. Those seven words right here at the very end. We never saw it on this fashion. I believe with all my heart that you and I, when we live the way God has called us to, and we follow his plan for our life and we seek his face and we have compassion. You know, that's what he says. How will they know you're my disciple? By your love. When we're motivated to serve him this way and we work together, I believe we will leave a community saying, man, I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen anything like Liberty Baptist Church. Have you? I mean, those people, they meet together and they pray. I mean, when they pray for folks. And they come out in the middle of the heat on a Saturday and they go out trying to tell other people about Jesus. I've never seen anything like that. I came into their church service one time and I was greeted by, it seemed like a dozen people almost immediately. I've never seen anything like that. Their preacher, he didn't give opinions. He preached from God's word. I've never seen anything like that. They talked about a Savior. that I've never heard about like that. Oh, there's something going on over there. You see, that's what I want God to do in my life. Leave people saying, man, what's going on with him? I've never seen anything like that. That's obviously God doing something. I want him to say that about our churches, about our heart's desire, about getting people to Jesus Christ. You can do it. You can make a decision tonight and say, you know what? I am. I'm getting involved. God, you provide the time. God, you provide the finances. God, you provide the opportunity. You open the doors for me. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to serve. You show me the person, God. I don't know. I'm not a good speaker, but I'll do my best to share the Bible. And I'll hand them a tract, God. I'll do it. You can do it. You can make a difference in someone's life just like these four guys did. Are you willing? God, thank you so much for these folks tonight. And again, I know I haven't shared anything new. I haven't shared anything spectacular from your word except for the fact that we can do this. We can follow this example. We can look at these guys and just see that they wanted to make a difference. They wanted to love someone like Jesus would love. They wanted to serve. They wanted to work. And man, when they brought that person to Jesus Christ to see the change that you did in their life, oh, it's amazing. Verse 5, it tells us that it was their faith. You saw their faith, that they knew if they could get him to Jesus, that he was the one that could do it. And Lord, tonight we believe that you and you alone can bring revival. We believe with all of our heart that you and you alone can save souls, that you can change lives. God, help us to act in faith tonight. Maybe there's someone in here, Lord, you're already speaking to their heart. They know that there's some areas that they can get involved in. Lord, help them to get over their fears, their shyness, whatever it may be. Lord, help them tonight to commit to saying, God, I want to grab my corner. I want to see you use me to bring others to you and see a great change take place in their life. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, can I just ask you a real quick question? If you're here tonight, you say, Brad, that's me. You know, if I'm honest, I really haven't been grabbing my corner like I could. I could get involved. I could teach. I could sing. I could help in some way. I could talk to a pastor and find out where I could fit in. Bradley, just pray for me that I would have the boldness, the courage to ask God, where's my corner? And I'd go to it and I'd serve him in that capacity. Whether it's full-time ministry or whether it's just as a layperson in this church just being involved, Bradley, would you pray for me? If that's you tonight, would you just slip up your hand? Thank you very much. Several hands raised around the building tonight. You know what? Tonight's a great night for you to come, just like this guy did. He came to Jesus' feet, and Jesus did a great thing tonight. Why don't you, in prayer at his feet, say, God, show me. Speak to me. I want to serve you. God, work in my life. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know what, Bradley, I want to see him do a miracle in my life. I'm not even sure. If I died right now, Bradley, I'm not even sure I'd even go to heaven. Friend, listen, that's the greatest miracle you'll ever experience. If you don't know him as your Savior tonight, let that be the night tonight for you to know him. He said, Bradley, just pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm interested. And I even feel like I might even want to talk to somebody about that. Would you slip up your hand and put it right back down? Anyone like that at all? Bradley, just pray for me. I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven if I died. With our heads still bowed, let's all stand to our feet. Pastor's going to come to close our service. And if the Lord spoke to your heart, as he opens the invitation, why don't you speak to the Lord? Share with him your heart and ask him what it is that he wants you to do.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless you.